Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters and a Twisted Mister or two. I am Pam Ray, and joining me tonight I have Gray Eyes Smith and Naomi Sarah. Gray, Naomi, and I are poets on a website called All Poetry with a group of poets called Late Night Poets. You don't have to belong to the group or the website to call in, to share, to listen, and enjoy, but it is highly recommended. If you find that this show is not your cup of tea, please check out our other shows. We have 1 to 2 shows per night on a variety of styles of topics and poetry, something to suit everybody's taste. And also make sure, if you get a chance, check out the poetry anthologies put out by Late Night Poets, because when you purchase those, you not only get amazing poetry, you help support these radio shows. And hello, Naomi, and hello, Gray.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Pam.
And how are you doing, Naomi?
Oh, better, getting over all the hardships of that go on in family life. Doing better.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. And how about you, Gray? How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, thank you. Nice to be here with you both.
Yeah, it's great to have you both here. And I am definitely looking forward to tonight's show. We have a couple of different contests. The main contest and theme that we'll be delving into is the artwork of Isabel Menon, and I highly recommend people check her out. She does a lot of, she started out with painting, and then she moved into digital photography. And, you know, like her art, you can look at it and say, oh, it's flowers, but, and it is, but it's got such a beautiful depth to it. Very surrealistic looking. She's from Belgium, where she lives and works. She refers to her work as inland photographs and disordered landscapes. And I think disordered landscapes is actually a great way to describe her art. And what she sometimes looks to accomplish, she says in her own words, is that that the idea between the order and disorder, the coming and going of them, and that's why a lot of her paintings, you'll see blurred lines or, you know, live flowers blending into dead flowers. So, you know, there's so much to gather from this. And I have to say, I was really happy with the way people were inspired. You know, unfortunately, sometimes what happens is with anybody with any contest, sometimes with contests, you're not quite getting as much rights as you hope. So I ran an 8-spots-only contest to get a little bit more, and that will be the second one that we'll cover, which is it's the quote, "I must have flowers always, always, always," by Claude Monet. And so we're going to be just getting into flowers tonight and the beauty of them and the metaphor of them. You know, so it's going to be a great night for sure. And all right, let's see here. What do we got first? I am going to go ahead and I am going to put up a classic intro poem, which is "A Contemplation Upon Flowers" by Henry King. And Gray, would you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. "Contemplation of Flowers." Brave flowers, that I could gallant it you like you, and be as little vain. You come abroad and make a harmless show, and to your beds of earth again. You are not proud, you know your birth, for your embroidered garments are from earth. You do obey your mouths and times, but I would have it every spring. My bait would know no winter, never die, nor think of such a thing. Oh, that I could my bed of earth but view and smile and look as cheerfully as you. Oh, teach me to see death and not to fear, but rather take truce. How often I have seen you at a byre, and there look fresh and spruce. You fragrant flowers, then teach me that my breath, like yours, may sweeten and perfume my death." End poem.
Wonderful read there, Gray. You know, of course, because of our theme being flowers, I wanted to go with a classic intro poem. And I love sharing a classic poem on Tuesday nights, especially when I can find one that goes with the theme. You know, I actually haven't read too much of Henry King's writing, and I'll have to check out more of it. Like most classic poems of that time period, he has a elegant use of language. And I like that this poem is about the wisdom that we can gather from a flower, you know, and from nature in general. And that is the idea, two ideas to me, that one, we live in the moment and appreciate what we do have, you know, and don't act proud for what we have, but just be thankful and cheerful. And that, and we learn not to fear death, that we just learn to accept it and embrace it as a part of life. So, you know, wonderful, wonderful, right? And yeah, just an excellent read there, Gray. Thank you. And Naomi, your thoughts on this classic
scene. Captivated me right from the beginning, you know, just the word brave, brave flowers. And then, you know, like you said, they're there for such a short time. They bloom and then they die, but they're so beautiful, you know. And they, it's as if they're smiling all the time that they are in bloom until their death. So in that way, it teaches us to be brave, you know, and to face death and to face life, its challenges, and to be brave even in the face of death. So, yeah, I think this was a wonderful, wonderful choice, Pam, the classical poem for tonight. Just a beautiful poem. Rich in meaning.
Thank you. Absolutely. Great comment. And Gray, your thoughts on this classic poem?
Well, I thought you made a wonderful choice on your pick, Pam. But, you know, the poem is visceral and it's engaging, you know, and it's introspective. And I like the relation of, there's a correlation of flowers and life and death. And they're, you know, never fearing death. And, you know, they just accept it and go away into the earth, of bed of earth at their roots, and then come back the next year with their beauty again to shine upon the world. So yeah, just a beautiful poem. Pleasure to read.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said there. All right. Up next we have Melting Roses by Betty Page. And Naomi, will you give that a read for us, please?
Of course. My pleasure. Betty Page, Melting Roses. Melting roses, cherry red roses, melting wax dripping, whipped creams, merging pink petals, lush strawberry wine, fizzing bubbly pink champagne poured in two glasses, colorful lanterns, Japanese cherry blossoms, waterfalls cascade, origami swans, floats down aquamarine lakes melodically, drifting pink blue clouds, sweet cotton candy rainbows, cozy so serene, blue wildflowers, soft honeysuckle roses, sugary divine, voluptuous curves, dew-drenched sultry peach petals, passionate cherries. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Naomi, and such a stunning write and wonderful use of imagery here by Betty Page. And Gray, your thoughts on Betty's write?
I really like the softness to it. You know, there's a delicateness to this poem that reflects that of a rose, the velvety softness. And I thought she captured the essence of the prompt beautifully. Well done, Reed, Naomi.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Naomi, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think she, you know, the poet captured, you know, so much amazing, amazing imagery all throughout with the amazing metaphors, you know, from the whipped creams to the pink champagne, you know, it's bubbling, the Japanese cherry blossom, waterfalls, cascades, aquamarine lakes, cotton candy rainbows, I love that one, and, you know, of course, honeysuckle. And then even drenched, sultry peach petals, passionate cherries. You know, she just captivated, you know, me entirely by this beautiful imagery and the way it was laid out on the page. Just wonderfully written throughout. Just beautiful.
Oh, absolutely. I have to agree. is beautiful imagery throughout. I like how it had a really wonderful, like really smooth flow to it. The imagery was seductive in places, you know, very sensory, you know, enveloping. And I like how it brings nature to life. And there's so much wonderful imagery in here. But I have to say I'm particularly fond of colorful lanterns, Japanese cherry blossoms, waterfalls, cascade, origami swans float down aquamarine lakes melodically. I also really like that she went with the title Melting Roses, because I could definitely see that in this painting, the idea of roses melting. So just an absolutely stunning write and very well done. And let's see what we have next. Doo-doo-doo. All right. Up next we have Goodbye by Weaver of Dreams. And we have a SoundCloud for that. So let me go ahead and push play.
Kaleidoscopic colors swirl, twirl, and delight. Roses, asters, tulips, all their beauty in motion as they float on the river, showing your devotion. Flowers scent intoxicate, drifting on the breeze. A sweet gesture, my love, as your tears fall like rain. The pain that fills you has pulled me back again. Another year has passed. I am hurt as you hurt. We both must find relief. Feel my love like a sigh, soft against your cheek, saying my goodbye.
Wonderful read and write there, Weaver. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And just a reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, then the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, what a very emotive write, you know, on the love and loss of love. Very well written. And, you know, of course, Weaver of Dreams' voice is always so captivating. Beautiful, beautiful SoundCloud there. You know, the last stanza really is very, very heartfelt and very, very emotive. And you know, it touches you. You know, another year has passed. I'm hurt as you hurt. We must find relief. Feel my love like a sigh, soft against my cheek, saying my goodbye. I think that last line there, saying my goodbye, is, you know, really brings it, you know, brings all the feeling, you know, to the entire poem, which is very, so splendidly, beautifully written.
Oh, absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment. And Gray, your thoughts?
It was definitely heart-wrenching and beautiful at the same time. You know, see, her words are very descriptive and engaging. They pull the reader into this painful goodbye of one lover saying goodbye to the other as they pass away into death. And so, yeah, it's a bit of a haunting poem. Beautifully done, though. Excellent read as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment, Gray. Yeah, and I had thought the same thing, that it was written from the perspective of someone who had died and kept getting drawn back to this world, because their spirit did, because of the fact that their loved one, their lover, kept grieving. I thought it was a wonderful story, right? Definitely, as Naomi said, highly emotive. And as you said, Gray, haunting, and it's so beautifully written. I really, every stanza is wonderful. But I have to say that second one just really captured my attention. So beautifully written and very well done. And let's see what we have next. All right. Up next, we have A Flower Bed by Daniel Duhame. And it goes like this. Blossoming flower of sweet-smelling serenade, surrounded by dancing lilies with buttercup harmony, grown in a bed of colors, displaying all the colors of a rainbow in a kaleidoscope of surreal painting, rain-kissed petals reaching out to drink from nature's shower, dragonflies land upon the flowers to honor it with love, and then fly away to parts unknown. A flower is a precious token of love's affection, sown into a microcosm of beauty, captivating the imagination. Kings made gardens for their queen to show honor in cedar hedges of renowned sculptures and poem. And what a wonderful, right? Absolutely, just great use of imagery. And Gray, your thoughts?
Beautiful read, Pam. But I like it, you know, starting from the title, you get where he's going. And then, you know, grown in a bed of colors, displaying all the colors of a rainbow in a kaleidoscope of a surreal painting. And I mean, that could describe a garden bed or the actual painting that he's talking about, which has that kaleidoscopic type feel to it. And so, no, it was just a beautiful write and a fantastic read, Pam.
Thank you. And yes, absolutely. It is a wonderful write. And yeah, he did really capture well that imagery, that kaleidoscopic imagery, as you said, of the painting. So great comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is an amazing write by Daniel here. You know, when you think of flowers, you think of, you know, all kinds of flowers. And I think he brings in, you know, you know, even down to the cedar hedges, you know, that are sculpted into to different forms, you know, that you see in these grand king's gardens, or, you know, all over the in different castle yards still today. French gardens are very famous for them. And, you know, but he also brings us into, you know, with the dragonfly, you know, it makes me think of the flowers that lay on ponds and, you know, other kinds of flowers that you see on a lake, or, you know, lilies. And so he brings us throughout this poem to embrace all kinds of different types of nature and flowers, you know, throughout the whole rite. So I think he really, did a great job here. And yeah, I just love the stanza, flower is a precious token of love's affection, sown into a microcosm of beauty, captivating the imagination. And it's so true. When you look at a flower, I don't know, it's just me, but, you know, I just love flowers. It just takes me places. And, you know, whether they're wild or whether, you know, they're in a bouquet or whatever, I just love flowers. So I think Danielle, he took us to different places here through this rite, which was really amazing.
Oh, absolutely. I have to agree with you. And yeah, I thought it was a wonderful comment. I like that you brought up the end with the kings made gardens for their queen to show honor in cedar hedges of renowned sculptures. I thought that was a particularly great part in the idea well, all the way through that part, and, you know, a flower is a precious token of love's affection, really showed, I think, the main theme of the poem, which is the idea of the connection between love and flowers, and how flowers help us to express our affections. In Victorian times, actually, different flowers meant different things. You could give a guy a flower that could mean anything between, I'd like you to court me to let's just be friends, you know, so, and various occasions and various sentiments called for different flowers. So they had a language all their own. But, yeah, this is a wonderful light. And I love how he uses the imagery of the chosen painting and pays tribute to that, but also brings it to life in his own words. I too, really like that stanza, dragonflies land upon the flowers to honor it with love and then fly away to parts unknown. There's almost a, it's both tender, it's like bittersweet, because there's a joy and a beauty in the moment of being honored with love, and then the idea of flying away to parts unknown. It is kind of, there's a sadness there, but absolutely a wonderful, captivating rite. And let's see what we got next. All right. Do-do-do. Thank you, Gray. And up next we have The End of the Rainbow by S. Sharp. And Gray, will you give that a read for us, please?
Absolutely. The End of the Rainbow. My eyes splash into the picture, a raindrop in a muddy puddle. I jump off the curb into the gutter, dancing along the flowering flow. Rain reflects petals as I hum, row, row, row my boat, following hopes. I look closely into the water, seeing my own reflection, seeing the rainbow in my eyes. I knew I would find my pot of gold. End poem.
Great read there, Gray. I have to say, as soon as you started reading, I thought to myself, I bet Gray is going to sing Row, Row, Row My Boat. And sure enough, you did. That was awesome. So very cool.
Thank you.
and Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, wow. I just love this. you know, the end of the rainbow. I just love how, you know, he uses the art, you know, and you know, the art totally pulls him in, you know, until he's dancing along the flowering flow. And then, you know, how he puts in the row, row, row my boat in there. And, you know, just how it's so positive. It has such a positive energy to it, this whole rite. And it's so authentic and it's so sincere. And, you know, and a bit whimsical in a way, you know, but so captivating. I just love it. Right to the end, seeing the rainbow in my eyes, I knew I would find my pot of gold. It's like, it's a bit fairy-like and whimsical and then so honest at the same time, because, you know, he's talking about how the art is just so captivating in all its beauty, and you know how he responded, his response to this art. So just a fantastic write here by Scott. I just love this little write here.
Oh, I have to agree with you, and I think honest and whimsical are two great words to describe this write. So very well said there. And Gray, you did an excellent read of that. Your thoughts?
I really like the reflective aspect of this poem. You know, you're reflecting on yourself and finding yourself in yourself as you look into this water, you know. Seeing my own reflection, seeing the rainbow in my eyes, I knew I would find my pot of gold. You know, and we all take a minute just to smell the flowers or to look ourselves in the eye. There's a depth and a connection there that can be felt, and it's empowering. So wonderful write on that subject. Beautifully done.
Absolutely. And you're right, there is an empowerment to looking ourselves in the eyes and seeing what's deep within our souls. And there is an introspective and reflective right, or, you know, idea within this right. I like how he takes us into the picture with him. My eyes splash into the picture, a raindrop in a muddy puddle. And then going into the rain reflects petals as I hum, row, row, row my boat, has a very surrealistic feel to it. Like you could just imagine yourself, you know, him in a boat rowing through this painting and you going along with him. And seeing the rainbow in my eyes, I knew I would find my pot of gold. And to me, I thought this was a wonderful write on self-discovery and, you know, how the way art draws us in and helps us along on that journey. So beautifully written and very well done. All right. And see what we got next. All right. Up next, we have A Bruised Ballet by Cress Tersett. And we have a recording for that one. So, let me find that. Here we go.
A Bruised Ballet. Your sultry voice entrapped me, spun mead in nets, that's why, and bound my breast so smoothly as prelude to our ballet. Neath honeysuckle ringlets, you held me in the archway, a kiss wrapped with soft sunset, warm tongues sweet swirled, a ballet. We danced on rain-dipped moonstones, entwined a midnight bouquet, till tiger lily cyclones, deep baton stirs the ballet. Yet morning sprouted nettles, my rosy peonies splay their quivering, tender petals in bruised and limping ballet. You left my ribcage yearning to pirouette a replay, though barred, my chest keeps churning our flower cloudburst ballet.
Wonderful read and write there, Cress. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. I have to say, I like how this was, it was romantic, it was sensual, and there was such an impact at the end with the emotion that was in there. Wonderful rhyme and flow. I like how it had a natural feel to it, and each time she found another word to rhyme with ballet, and it felt like a dance. And I like how it was about that dance of lust, that dance of seduction and love, and then the sadness in my rosy peony splay their quivering tender petals and bruised and limping ballet. You left my rib cage yearning, and I like how she put the space between you left and my rib cage. So there's that space that represents the emptiness you feel when love ends. So beautifully written and very well done. And Gray, your thoughts?
Well, I thought it was a wonderfully delicately sensual poem. You know, it's got a delicacy, a delicateness to this, to the reading of the poem. Yet morning sprouted nettles, my rosy peonies splay their quivering tender petals in bruised and limping ballet. And then, you know, I really liked where you caught that space between you left and my ribcage yearning. That was a fantastic play there. And now the overall poem is just beautiful, and it was well read as well.
Oh, absolutely. I have to agree. Great comment there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, this is, like you said, Pam, a beautiful, sensual ballet of lovemaking. You know, just so cleverly put together, you know, and the idea behind it is so witty too. You know, the how she brought the whole subject, you know, this beautiful sensual seduction here, you know, in the form of a ballet here. And use the flowers throughout also, you know, to keep with the theme. But you know, I just love how she was inspired by that art, and I can see, you know, that art. Looking at it, I can see you know, the movement inside of it, you know, the swaying and like a ballet. So I just love how she was inspired by the art to come up with such a beautiful, soft, sweet, you know, seductive right here, and so captivating, so interesting, and so amazing, amazingly well written, and beautifully well read. So just a bravo, Crestor said. She always amazes me with her poetry. She's just so talented.
Oh, I have to agree. Yeah, definitely. And that was a good catch with the eye on the painting, because you're right. There is a sense of movement, almost as if the flowers are putting on a ballet. Yeah, this was definitely a beautiful write. I did particularly like that second stanza that starts with, "Neath honeysuckle ringlets, you held me in the archway." Great comment, Naomi, and great observations. All right. Let's see what we have next. Doo-doo-doo-doo. Cress is right, read and write, or was so fabulous that Gray had to say it three times in LNP. Was your button stuck there, Gray?
Oh, yeah. I just see that. Well, it was beautiful, my gracious.
Oh, absolutely.
She deserves it. Three applause, three accolades.
All right. Up next, we have "The Blooming" by Swan Song. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Okay, "The Blooming." There are flowers so soft in bloom that they touch you even when you do not reach out. As the soft aroma sweetly enters into your nostrils, the sprite changes and the hard human softens. Golden pistils and red and yellow blossoms, pollen scattered randomly from anther and even into the wind. Somewhere in a distant hive, a bee dances, and soon a group of followers, banded with black stripes, come to harvest each flower, so the blooming will happen again. Roses and dahlias, sunflowers and hollyhocks, all calmly under the ardent sun, soft as a needed kiss on a hard day. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Naomi. And such a beautiful write by Swan Song. And Gray, your thoughts?
You know, you can't help but be touched by the beauty of a flower. I mean, you know, whether it's got a good scent or not, it's still a beautiful flower. And it's a wonderful present in your day and a gift to your life. So just a beautiful poem on the subject of flowers and the roles that they play in our life.
Oh, absolutely. And I have to agree with you. I went for a walk the other day with my son, and just beautiful yellow flowers along the side of the road, you know, that just are so, like, just, you know, they just offers so much cheer and beauty in the moment. So great comment there, Gray. And Naomi, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I just saw this is an amazing read here. You know, that last stanza, that last line there, soft as it needed kiss on a hard day. Wow, you know, what a line. That's just amazing. You know, and it's true, you know, just the softness and the beauty and everything, like you said, Pam, that, you know, just when you see the flowers, they bring in like kind of happiness and a kind of enlightenment to your day, even when you're having a hard day. The view of flowers is just, you know, just uplifts you, I think. And, you know, and he brings it out in this poem here. And I think, you know, great inspiration from that art. Awesomely well written, beautiful, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely great comment. Yeah, I really liked how this came across as a tribute to the beauty of flowers and the way that looking upon them and smelling their fragrance really touches and lifts the spirit. I like how he had not only wonderful imagery, but there was a great sense of movement. You know, I was particularly drawn to that third and fourth stanzas, and I like the fourth stanza because it brings in the bees. Just like the one that brought in the dragonflies, there's that sense of the connection between the pollinator insects and the plants. And I like how he brings up the communication between the bees and their search for nectar. So, you know, that one was particularly a wonderful four stanza to me, particularly grabbed my attention. And the idea of how the blooming can happen over again because of the bees and their importance. So wonderful write and very well done. You know, I think the other thing that with that, oh, I'm sorry, what were you going to say, Gray? My apologies.
Oh, sorry, I was going to agree with you, but you've got a caller on hold.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Oh, look at that. We have Felon. Hey, Felon, welcome. Glad you could join us.
I'm glad I could too.
Hi, Felon.
Awesome. How are you doing? Yay.
Doing great. Doing amazingly well right now.
Good. Good. I'm glad to hear that. All right. And did you get a chance to hear or to read that last poem by Swansong?
Yes, and as always, he can just grab a girl's heart or just something. It's just the beauty of he has like a double meaning there, one for Mother Nature and the other one is to a heart, so someone's heart. This is just absolutely beautiful, right? And I haven't read something from him in a while, so this is a great read.
Oh, I have to agree with you, definitely. Definitely, yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful comment there. And I see you were inspired to write, and we'll get to your write, but I'm going to get some others done. So I'm glad you were inspired. And just so you know, Gray, we don't have a huge amount of writes. So, you know, if you have anything on the theme of flowers that you'd like to share, please feel free to put it on the board. All right. And up next, we have O Mirror, Speak Aloud by Rain 474. And Felon, would you give that a read for us, please?
Absolutely. Rain 474, O Mirror, Speak Aloud. Into the heavenly realm, I tiptoe with the butterfly, like a butterfly, visioning the blooming roses, cooing the melody of life. As it unfolds its sublime petals, holding the mesmerizing world, that humbly bent down to kiss the flowing river, the flowing river, I'm sorry. And for the first time, saw thyself blushing in its well-worn attire of streaks of baby pink over the pure white. That perfectly blends into the mirror, impressing its own true curvature, sending message sending message of hope to his banks, riding on the ripple wave borne by her kiss. Oh, mirror of the merry-go-round, our company allows create memories, preserved within the folds of its hands as it's offering tribute to God, goddess of smile. End poem.
Great read, Fallon, and what a wonderful write by Rain 474. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh yeah, just beautiful. I love how she takes, you know, the art, and then she took the mirror, and it says, and you know, into the heavenly realm, I tiptoe like the butterfly, visiting the blooming roses, cooing the melody of life. You know, that's such a beautiful start, you know, so soft and, you know, so strong in its softness. You know, it just totally captivates you and brings you in. You know, yeah, you have to keep reading. And, you know, all through, you know, that bends is the way she writes it, humbly bends down to kiss the flowing river. And then, you know, the riding on the ripply waves borne by her kiss. And at the end, preserved within the folds of its hands as if offering tribute to goddess of smile. This is such a beautiful, you know, and just wonderful imagery, and so, so well written all the way through. Just a beautiful, wonderful, wonderful write here.
Absolutely. I have to agree. Great comment. And Fallon, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Oh, this is an actually stunning work, and to me, it's not just the flower. I think she's looking at herself and actually seeing herself for the first time and seeing the beauty within what she holds. And it's in the first time saw thyself blushing in its well-worn attire of streaks of baby pink over pure white. You know, she's describing herself as an exotic flower or bloom, but yet seeing the beauty within herself and seeing that she is unique and she's one of a kind. To me, this is just absolutely refreshing. I enjoyed it a great deal.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have to agree. There is a sense with the mention of a mirror, there is a sense of somebody reflecting upon themselves and seeing their own beauty for the first time. So great observation. And Gray, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I love the mirror as a tool to see ourselves in as well. Like I was saying, when you look into your eyes, there's something empowering that you find by searching your own soul through your eyes. And so I thought it was a very hard-hitting poem on that subject of inner reflection and the beauty that can be found therein. So just a wonderful poem. Well read as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. Yeah, I like how this is reflective, how it uses the water as a mirror, a reflection. I like that there's almost a delicate sensuality with this, a sense of reverence and the idea of being captivated by a beauty, you know, an outer beauty, an inner beauty, and the reflection of the spirit. So wonderful write and very well done. All right. And if I remember right, it is now, is it my turn to read again? Gee, that's a good question. I don't know. Let's see here. Yeah, I think you're right. Yep. All right. So The Daffodil by Cedar Chapman. And it goes like this. She bloomed tall above the rest, a lush blonde daffodil. Her sweet godly fragrance won the gazes of hummingbirds and honeybees. Ivy and ferns loomed in admiration, surrounding her like a plush lime army, protecting spring's chosen child. But beauty is a tonic drunk by men with unquenchable thirst. Her limbs amputated, her body plucked from the soil, never to experience brushing against the soft sepals of blushing geraniums. Days became weeks, stuck in a vessel with alien foliage of myrtle and eucalyptus. Water and life slowly evaporated away, drop by drop. Her rootless feet sat rotting in tepid, murky water, frayed and beaten. The sheen on her petals, once a golden morning star, now dulled to a lustrous layer of dust that could never be blown away. The stagnant air whispered her imprisoned fate. Hopelessness wilted her stem. Her head sunk low, facing her grave, her stigma wrinkled and shriveled as one by one each scentless filament fell on a bed of brown petals and leaves. The captors had finished drinking the elixir, and their bellies were full. All that was left was an inedible skeleton of crusty dried cellulose, soon to be tossed away. End poem. Oh my goodness, that one is just amazing imagery and metaphors and just heart-wrenching. And Gray, your thoughts?
You did a wonderful read on the poem, but, you know, the poem's deeply melancholic. You know, it pictures this beautiful daffodil being cut and robbed from its, you know, roots and put into a vase, left to rot away until it was no longer, visually stunning. And so it just remained a skeleton of crusty, dried cellulose, soon to be tossed away. Yeah, very haunting imagery in that. I liked it. You know, I've never seen the storyline of a flower be told like that.
Oh, absolutely. I have to agree with you. It's a wonderful, haunting storyline and great comment there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, this is the first time I've seen something so deep from Cedar Chapman. I guess I haven't been reading enough of his work or I've been away too long. But, this is an amazing extended metaphor for, you know, the passing of beauty, I think, you know, and, you know, how when you're no longer this beautiful, lush, like blonde daffodil with a godly fragrance and, you know, loomed in admiration, you're just tossed away, you know. It could be like when you age also, you know, as you get older, you fade and you're tossed, you're tossed aside. So, you know, just amazing whether you take it just, you know, as the flower, as, you know, the blooming of a flower and then the, you know, being picked and then go fading away and then dying in a vase, you know, stuck in a vase, or whether you take it, I think, as an extended metaphor. You know, this is just absolutely amazing. Amazing, right? Very deep and very well written. So filled with amazing imagery throughout and amazing wording. So just a marvelous write here by Cedar Chapman.
Oh, yes, definitely. And I have seen him write some pretty deep stuff. So I highly recommend anybody who hasn't checked out his poetry, definitely check it out. Well, I can't imagine at this point there are many who haven't, but still, just in case.
Yeah.
A wonderful comment, Naomi. And I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to go back and, you know, check out his work for sure. Yeah, it's just amazing.
Yeah, definitely. And Felon, your thoughts?
I'm just in awe of this because the story here, it takes me, or what it brought to me was, here's this beautiful, beautiful daffodil that's probably in this just, you know, pasture or field or whatever, and some drunken guy just wants, instead of enjoying the beauty of it. He just picks it on a whim on his self-gratification to, instead of bending down to smell it and to go on about his way, he just picks it up and takes it, you know, hijacks it. And yet he might give it to a girl, but instead of just, you know, the aspirations of that flower was like, oh, I have so much I want to do with my beauty, so much I want to share. And yet I'm here left to die just because he wanted a moment of just inhaling a little bit of me instead of it and getting more out of me and let me grow even more. So that was just, to me, that's what it reminded me of. It was just absolutely stunning.
Yeah, and I really like that thought. It reminds me of a quote I actually saw when I was searching. It was a quote by Osho, which, you know, was, and I'm paraphrasing, but basically along the line, if you love the flower, or, you know, let it stay in the soil, don't pick it, because,
right.
You know, that's what love is. You know, love isn't about you picking the flower so you can temporarily enjoy it. It's about letting the flower grow in its place. You know,
absolutely.
So, yes. So wonderful comment there. I'll have to find that exact quote, but it actually reminded me of a quote that Lou would use in one of her contests, because I know she's used quotes by Osho before, but I can't remember if she'd use that particular one. But I think it would definitely be right up her alley. And now. What I liked about, I really liked the imagery and metaphors throughout this. I like it how it had that extended metaphor, as Naomi had mentioned, and that idea of a flower or a person tossed aside. Now, he did put, you know, for some of his labels, beauty, aging, movie star, nature. So, you know, I'm kind of glad he did that, because I don't always read people's metaphors right, but you know, and so that was really cool to have that extra information. I also though like how, even if that hadn't been there, that general idea would have come across. Now I don't know if I would have thought movie star, like when I first started reading this and I got into those first couple of 2 to 3 stanzas, I actually thought of the idea of maybe not someone who's a movie star, but someone who was beautiful and got all the attention from men. There was almost to me a sense of, and I of being used for sex, of prostitution or human trafficking, which is probably way darker than Cedar Mint, anyone's thoughts to go. But you know, when I think about people, particularly women, being used, these are some of the dark thoughts that come to my mind. And you know, but this was so beautifully written, so layered. And I like how he mentions that the plant is, you know, this woman, she's put in a vessel with alien foliage of myrtle and eucalyptus. This daffodil is put with plants that it wouldn't naturally grow with. It actually kind of made me think, that line there, actually, and this thought just came to me, that part there makes me think a lot of Marilyn Monroe, how she was a small town girl with a sense of naivety. I mean, she was extremely intelligent, but she got thrown into a world of just absolute, you know what I mean? Like backstabbing, and like she was a nice person put into a ugly world. And so that thought just came to my mind in that part, is the idea of Marilyn Monroe. And so wonderful right here, Cedar, and very well done. All right. And up next, we have Flowers by John Pome. And Gray, would you go ahead and give that a read? And Naomi, when he's done reading, would you just leave the comments, and I'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay, this is called Flowers by John Poem. I smell the sweet fragrance of a bloom or two. If I were a bee, I would pollinate you. A sweet scent makes me feel happy, an overdose of aroma therapy. Even the scentless that nature chose show off for me in their blooming clothes. I appreciate a flower's color scheme. They rival visions in my dreams. You give me all your love for free with exquisite geometry and generosity. I visit you in the woods and fields as I feel I should. You add happiness to my life and resolve society's greed and strife. I lay among you for some deep sleep and wake with visions my memory will keep. You give me smiles and dry my tears. You remain constant throughout the years. I live my life hour by hour and can't count special moments like wildflowers and poem.
What a beautiful read there, Gray. Bravo. You know, this is another wonderful poem. John Poem, that's the first time I've read him. Amazing writing, you know, about just living, you know, in that moment and appreciating everything, you know, like the beautiful fields of wildflowers. Just amazing, right? What did you think, Fallon?
Oh, I really enjoyed this too. And I mean, in a way, to me, I don't think it's just flowers either, but I think maybe it's a memorial to someone in his life. Maybe they passed or something, and he goes to that spot where they are, and yet he still finds comfort in the bloom that they've seeded in his life. So this is just and wake with visions, and my memory will keep. You know, it says, I lay among you for some deep sleep. To me, that's, you know, they're gone. And then when he awakes, there's, you know, he still has them. He says, you give me smiles and dry my tears. You remain constant throughout the years. This is just beautifully written. I like the rhyme scheme. I think it's nicely done. And I think I like where he went with this. Great, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love your observation there, Fallon, of this being, you know, could be a person also, you know. Yeah, if I were a bee, I would pollinate you. Sweet scent makes me feel happy. You know, of this being of somebody very important to him in his life. And, you know, your reference to the rhythm and rhyme also, amazing comment there, Fallon. And Gray, you read that so amazingly. What were your thoughts?
I really liked the cadence of the poem, you know, it had a wonderful flow to it. And, you know, I agree with him on all of this as well. You know, his appreciation of the flower's color scheme, they rival visions in his dreams. You give me all your love for free with exquisite geometry and generosity. I mean, there's such a fabulous geometry too, a flower and a bloom. And I thought it was just a wonderful write, beautifully written.
Mm-hmm. I loved the quote that you put up in the room, Gray. You know, if you love a flower, don't pick it up, because if you pick it up, it dies and ceases to be what you love. So if you love a flower, let it be. Love is not about possession. Love is about appreciation. Osho. Yeah, that's an amazing comment there, amazing quote there. Yeah, the one that was Tam was referencing to. And so thank you for putting that up in the room. And Pam, are you back?
I am, yes. Have you gone ahead and commented, Naomi? Because if you haven't, go ahead.
I just love this poem and all that, the comments that we've had on it, you know, what Fallon saw in it, and then Gray's comment too. But, you know, I also love, you know, just the, yeah, I also love the flow, the rhythm, the rhyme, and then the cadence of the write here. And, you know, down to that last line, I live my life hour by hour and count special moments like wildflowers. That's so beautifully put there. Such an amazing finish to a fabulous write here.
I I have to agree with you. It is beautifully written and wonderful comments. I did like how, Felon, you mentioned the rhyme scheme of this, which I thought was really well done, and how it could be a representation of a person, and there's a certain kind of romance to it. I like, Gray, how you mentioned the part with you give me all your love for free with exquisite geometry and generosity. I visit you in the woods and feels I feel I should. I love that he mentions the geometry in here. And I actually hadn't thought of this as Felon had, so I'm glad she, you know, said something and I saw a new perspective in the idea of the personification of the flower being a person, and the sense of the wonderment of somebody or being in love with somebody. But I also like how he does, you know, to also pay tribute to the beauty and, as Gray mentioned, the balance, the symmetry of flowers, which was why I thought the phrase with exquisite geometry and generosity was particularly inspiring. I also like how at the end it says, I live my life hour by hour, and what count special moments like wild flowers. That is one of those lines that could actually be a prompt for a contest. It is that good. And I like how that speaks on living in the moment, you know, and enjoying what you have in the moment. It kind of actually makes me think of the thought that, you know, we got from the classic poem that
King.
I didn't even realize Ray had dropped. Oh, but he's back. Welcome back, Ray. Good thing you can pick yourself up because I'm not paying attention. All right. But yeah, definitely a wonderful write and very well done. All right, and up next we have Canvas Field of Beauty by Pink Fairy 5. And Naomi, will you give that a read for us, please?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'll just refresh my page here. Got it. Okay. Pink Fairy 5, Canvas Field of Beauty. Roses in a variety of hues nod to each other, each aware of her own beauty, enhancing the world with their unique hybrids. Turquoise sky gives them a natural, gorgeous backdrop, smiling as she admires roses in blush, crimson, and pink. Orange roses are her favorite. They are scintillatingly bright. A fascination for the entire scene teases the whimsy of the lucky one who has wandered into this canvas field of beauty. End poem.
Wonderful read, Naomi, and such a beautiful brevity by Pink Fairy 5. And Felon, your thoughts?
Oh yeah, this is a very lovely brevity, and it's very whimsical to me because it's like she brings you in with like the roses not even talking to each other, but then you get the fascination of the entire scene, you know, for the lucky person that walks upon the beauty of it. It's like they don't belong, and they're lucky to be there at that moment. So that's what I gather from it. And you know, picture. I don't know who picked this picture, but it is gorgeous. I love it. So great job there, Pink Fairy 5.
Oh, absolutely, it is. It is great, gorgeous, and whimsical are great words for this. So wonderful comment. And Gray, your thoughts. Oh, are you on mute, Gray, or did you drop again?
Sorry, I was mutating. You did a beautiful read on it, Neil. And I liked it, you know, it really captures the painting very well, you know, as a canvas field of beauty. But I really like the opening. Roses in a variety of hues nod to each other, each aware of her own beauty, enchanting the world with their unique hybrids. You know, because roses are so varied now that there's so many different types, and they're all beautiful, in my opinion. So, yeah, it was just a wonderfully word-written painting.
Oh, absolutely. And you're right. I do like how that that first personifies the roses and acknowledges the unique beauty of each. You know, and this was just, like I said, a wonderful brevity all the way through. I did particularly like the second stanza that mentions, you know, the different types of roses, and the orange roses are her favorite. I have to say, when it comes to roses, my least favorite is red, because everybody gives red roses, and, yeah. Well, it's just generic. And my favorite is either yellow or peach. Those are my two favorite colors when it comes to roses. But this is absolutely a beautiful rite that brings that artwork to life. So wonderful and very well done. All right. And
can I comment, Pam?
You didn't comment? Oh, I'm sorry. For some reason, I you know what? I apologize. Naomi, please go ahead and comment.
Yeah, well, you know, you both used the term, you know, whimsical. Well, Fallon said whimsical. And, you know, when she said whimsical, you know, what came to mind was also like a free-flowing and free-spirited. You know, it's the feeling I get out of this whole rite here as I get out of the art. It's like it's just, you know, it's just free. Just a feeling of freedom there, you know, of a free spirit, you know, just a wild and free and beautiful. And so it's just an amazing rite, and it just brought me those feelings as I read it. So amazing, amazingly well done.
Ooh, I like that. I like how you bring up the thought of a wild and free spirit. Very cool there. Great comment. All right. And Fallon, I have your poem up. Go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
All right. The thing was, it's on flowers, so it's called Pluck. Hint of your touch blooms beneath feet of belonging, knowing sunbathes amongst the rays of endearment. Tomorrow vine deep to growing stemming, to growth stemming us. Scented bliss inhales sweet jasmine as they forget me, never. Whispering your name sways through the pollination breeze. You're the flower I wear behind my ear, the one I keep forever and always near. End poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Fallon. Beautifully written. And Gray, your thoughts?
I'm sorry, did you say me?
Yep, I did.
Okay. That was a wonderful read, Fallon. And, you know, the poem is deeply engaging. It's touching. It's endearing. I really liked your choice of words. Hint of your touch blooms beneath seeds of longing. Knowing sunbathes amongst rays of endearment, tomorrow vine deep to grow stemming us. Yeah, just a fascinating poem, beautiful imagery and emotion throughout. So well done, Fallon.
Thank you, Gray.
Absolutely wonderful comment, Gray. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a beautiful, beautiful brevity, and you know, so witty and so cleverly, you know, spun. Tomorrow vined deep to growth stemming us. You know, the way you use the flower there, vine deep to growth stemming us. And then you go down and, you know, the sweet jasmine as a forget me never. You know, there's the flowers forget me nots, but you went with forget me never. So I thought that was very clever there. You know, the play on the flower, the name of the flower that you changed up. And, you know, just hear the flower I wear behind my ear, the one I keep forever and always near. You know, that's just such a powerful and endearing, you know, line there. And, you know, that kind of testimony to that kind of love that's always so strong and so enduring. So just amazing, amazing right here, Felon.
Thank you, Naomi. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Great comment, Naomi. Yeah, Felon, this is an absolutely beautiful brevity. I like how you use the flower and its parts for a metaphor for love, the kind of love that stays with you forever. And I like that it's not only about the imagery of the flower, but what helps the flower to grow, the sunlight, you know, the rays of endearment, the sun baths, you know, the idea of that flower behind the ear that is a keepsake that stays with you. I really like that this is about, to me, the kind of love where you grow together. And I like that it's not just about the imagery, which is absolutely stunning, but also that you bring in the scent, the sound, the sense of movement in that second stanza. Scented bliss inhales sweet jasmines as a forget-me-never, which, by the way, Naomi is right. That was really wonderful and clever wordplay. Whispering your name sways through a pollination breeze. Just a really nice touch of sensuality and romance, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Too bad I ain't got nobody.
Well, you know, I saw the poem that you wrote for Grave Art of Seduction show tomorrow night, and if you don't get somebody with that poem, I don't know what's wrong with them.
I'll call in tomorrow when it was, so I'll be calling tomorrow.
Awesome. Well, we definitely look forward to hearing from you.
All right.
And, yeah, well, wonderful right there. And I'll go ahead and bring us on to the next poem. And up next, we have Flowers Blooming in the Clouds After the Rain, by Lynn Mitch 235. And it goes like this. Flowers blooming in the clouds after the rain. Imagine seeing this on a humid, dark day. Yes, there can be beauty after your pain. Flowers blooming in the clouds after the rain. Gloominess may be first felt in your soul with sunlight so bare as dullness recoils. But flowers blooming in the clouds after the rain, scenery like medicine, away goes your pain. A fragrance so lovely growing in the air, this beautiful fluffy cloud, dewy flowers everywhere. Flowers blooming in the clouds even after the pain, revealing real life beauty in a world with such dismay. End poem. That was just a beautiful, heartfelt write. And Felon, your thoughts.
Wow. The simplicity of the poem itself, I think, speaks so loudly with this one repeat, you know, one repetitive line. Yes, there can be beauty after the pain, flowers blooming in the clouds after the rain. And I like how they captured the flower in the darkness, you know, when it's the overcast and it looks so gloomy out, but yet, I think they're saying it was like a backdrop. It was like, you know, illuminating the flower, even the pain, beauty still can arise above it. This is just absolutely stunning. And I think it's dark. It's painful, but at the same time, it's got a lot of hope in it. So I like that this is just absolutely stunning. Right. Enjoyed it.
Oh, absolutely. I have to agree with you that there is a sadness to it, a darkness to it, but also a sense of hope. So great observation there. And Gray, your thoughts?
I'm on the same thoughts as Felton as far as the poem itself goes. You know, it's definitely dark, but it's got light at the end of the tunnel, which is a beautiful thing. And, you know, we all need hope in our lives. And these flowers bring hope and wash away pain. And so I thought it was just a beautiful sentiment of that.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I'm going to repeat here, but, you know, me too. Yeah, yes, even in pain, beauty can shine through. You know, a very empowering poem, I find, you know, especially with the repetition, like Felon said, you know, the repetition of that line there, flowers blooming in the clouds after the rain. You know, that repetition makes it the whole thing really, really pop and really strong. And, you know, like Gray said also, you know, the sentiment of hope that shines through in this poem, you know, is beautiful, you know, the sentiment. So, yeah, very well done and bravo.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have to agree. The repetition did make it pop. There's a wonderful sense of hope. I actually don't think I've seen Lynn Mitch poetry in any of the contests for shows. So I'm really glad to see a new name. And I really hope that we get to read more of her. I definitely plan on checking out more of her poetry myself. You know, and I like how she delves into the painting and she sees within the painting the idea of flowers blooming in the clouds and thinks to herself, could you imagine how beautiful it is that flowers, you know, either little flowers or metaphorical flowers bloom in our lives during those storms that we go through. I really liked how she mentions that, you know, that beauty, that joy can bring a sense of healing and, you know, and can just give you, as you all mentioned, there's that sense of hope, that sense of just embracing the small gifts of life and the joys that we've been offered up even in difficult times. So wonderful, right, and very well done. All right, so that was the last write from our Isabel Menon Artwork Contest. And now we are going to go on to the writes that were written to the quote, I must have flowers, always, 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 and by Claude Monet. And up first we have, oh, and I am still going to get to your right, Gray. I'm just going to do a couple of sound clouds first, and then you, just so you know, I have a plan. And up first we have Lupin's A Pride of Place by Titus Llewellyn, and we do have a SoundCloud for that one, so here we go.
Lupin's A Pride of Place. As old as the hills they are, the posture, in which all proud distinctions are envied within the crowd, there is a composure, true and upright, but never once frenzied, to which all unifications are gauged. Lupins have, for instance, a given respect, to which all militaria are staged, stand orderly men, present and correct, age-old cottage gardens, dearly beloved lupins, fastened bayonets, war of words, leniency has somewhat been located, but nevertheless do the glorious birds. Master plans are these defining fractals. Present your arms in a way of readiness, preordained as such with double dactyls. Their grieving hearts do bring a headiness.
Wonderful reading right there, Titus. I thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And I gave him the gold in this contest. I like that he focused on one flower. I've always found lupins or lupines, depending on how you pronounce it, I know, to always be a beautiful flower. And they do have a proud distinction. They stand so tall in their various colors. There is a sense of unification. I think most people know this, but lupins, their name actually comes from, I believe it's either the Latin or the Greek word for wolf, which I'm not quite sure how they got that name. Maybe it's because they kind of look like furry wolf tails. Not 100% sure. I just know what the name means. I don't really know how it was chosen. But I really liked the flow and the rhyme to this. It had a very classical feel. All the way through, it's beautiful. But I really was particularly captivated by that second and third stand of the to which all unifications are gauged. Lupins have, for instance, are given respect, to which all militaria are staged, stand orderly men, present and correct. And there is a sense, the way they grow and the way they stand, you can see the pride, you can see the how they stand orderly, like, you know, men marching in the army. Lupins fastened bayonets, war of words, leniency has somewhat been loaded, but nevertheless do the glorious birds. I like how he brings in that sense of movement in here with the mention of the birds. So wonderful write and very well done. And Gray, your thoughts?
You know, I love the way he captures the essence of the lupin, and it was just a beautifully crafted poem. I can see why it won the gold. You know, he captures all the essences of the flower. To all unifications are gauged. Lupins have, for instance, are given respect, to which all militaria are staged. Stand orderly men, present and correct. You know, when you look at a field of lupins, they look like soldiers standing in a row, in rows. And so just that's, I thought he captured that beautifully. And then, you know, the whole master plans are these defining fractals. Present your arms in a way of readiness, preordained with such as such with double dactyls. Their grieving hearts do bring a headiness. You know, I think he's talking about the actual flower itself.
I think you're right. Because like the stem is covered by multiple flowers. That's a great observation.
It's just a beautiful presentation of the lupin, which are a marvelous flower.
They truly are. So great comment there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I think, the word elegant, like you used, describes this rite so well. It's just so, it has this classical feel to it, just the way he wrote the whole thing, the whole poem is just amazing, you know. His master, the way he masters the English language, also you can see it throughout the poem. The rhyme, the rhythm, the sway of the poem, the movement, it's like the flower itself floating in the air. And, you know, it's just a masterful poem for a masterful flower. Just as beautiful. And, you know, I loved it. Age-old cottage gardens, dearly beloved. You know, because, you know, it makes me think of, you know, my grandma's place. And, well, she's passed away now. But, you know, with the age-old, her cottage and, you know, those flowers, they grow all around, you know, wildly all around. So, yeah, just amazing right here by Titus.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And Felon, your thoughts?
I'd have to say this is, the write is just as amazing as his read. For him to put the music that he did with it, it was, to me, it was like an era before all of the innocence of life, and people had manners and stuff. And I think that's what I conveyed from this, is because these flowers still have manners. They still have the innocence. They still have, before they seem the you know, the horrific things that we see in life, they still bloom and stand tall, and they're pretty, and they're there to be admired. It's just a stunning poem. Titus always knocks it out of the park. And I must say, these flowers to me remind me of a Teletubby.
Oh, I can that was funny. I can totally see that. Yep. Oh my gosh. I remember when my kids were obsessed with the Teletubbies. Jeez.
Oh my gosh.
Great comment, Felon. And all right, Gray, I have your poem up. Go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Sure. Okay, this is called Wildflowers Under a Harvest Moon by Gray Eye Smith. Rolling fields, wildflower blooms touch the sky under a harvest moon. Autumn breeze softly blows her raven hair behind her, waving like a gentle memory where once two lovers made a home in the wilds of unclaimed lands. He braided feathers and leather into her locks, whispering prayers to the Creator to protect his beloved, that she may walk in the light of his love. He remembers each strand touching his flesh as it caressed dreams of what the future would bring, like wildflowers under a harvest moon. End poem.
Wonderful read and write, Gray. And I have to say, this pre-write really fits well, perfectly with tonight's topic and with the artwork for tonight, because there's so much, you know, besides the flowers, there's a real sense of light within the artwork. So very well done. And I'm definitely going to comment more. But first, I'd like to get the other ladies' thoughts. So, Felon, let's start with you.
I'm in awe. This is just absolutely stunning. What really touched me the most is waving like a gentle memory where once two lovers made a home in the wild, in the wilds of unclaimed land. I think this brings back, you know, your heritage as well. And I think it just, it's beautiful and how he braided the leathers and locks into her hair. To me, that is the most romantic thing anybody can do, is when you do just simple little things like eat pink toenails or do things that yet he was getting her prepped to, for his love, and that that she'd always be protected. To me, this is just absolutely stunning, and it stands so tall on some of your other rights. I love it a lot.
Thank you, Felon.
Absolutely. Great comment, Felon. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, this is so beautiful, Gray. Like wildflowers under a harvest moon, you know, just so captivating all throughout, and it flows just so effortlessly, you know, and beautifully across the page. And, you know, like Felon said, though, those were my favorite parts too, you know, leaves you with such a deep feeling of enduring love there, and you know, just so beautiful, just such a beautiful write. the successful, strong, and powerful, and light at the same time. But it's written lightly, you know, with a beautiful sway. But at the same time, it's such a strong write, I find, in a way. So amazing, amazing right here.
Thank you, Naomi. That was a wonderful comment.
Absolutely. It sure was. Thank you, Naomi. I have to agree. This is beautiful. It's stunning. I love the use of imagery. I love how you balance out romance and spirituality together. There is a very romantic rite, and it's very spiritual, and it shows, two people's connection to each other, but it also shows their connection to their creator and their connection to nature. And I really liked weaving like a gentle memory. Once the two lovers made a home in the wilds of unclaimed lands, he braided feathers and leather into her locks, whispering prayers to the creator to protect his beloved. Oh, wonderful, wonderful lines there, Gray. Beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. I appreciate your comment.
Absolutely. And let's see. Aha, I know what I'm going to grab next. All right. And sometimes I just need a few seconds to figure things out. All right. There we go. Naomi, I've put up your right. Go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Yeah, I mixed up the weeks. Can you tell?
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, I can, but you know what? I still want to make sure we get the right heard, and I'm glad that Phil's chosen prompts inspired you. Very cool.
Yeah, well, I saw the prompt, and right away, like I said, wow, that's like a picture of my granddaughter. And, the daisies in her hair. And then I realized, you know, it was your contest was on flowers. So, you know, I often refer to her as a little daisy, my granddaughter, which if you don't know, she has a severe speech handicap. And she deals a lot with bullying every day because of her handicap. So I call this little daisy. My beautiful little daisy, I see how you scream. I see how you cry inside through the tremble of your lip when you try to conquer the silence through your hesitant half smile. Deep within your sad eyes that continually ask, am I not pretty enough? Am I not intelligent? Why do you not understand me? Do you not like me? Could you ever love me? Why cannot I be like everyone else? And I want to hug you close, promise you that the future will be full of wonderful possibilities and that the world will be a less cruel place. Oh, my little daisy, if only I could make you see just how amazingly unique you truly are. If only I can keep you safe. Till then, if only. End poem.
Oh, that was such a beautiful right, Naomi, and wonderful read. I have to say this one really pulled hard at my heartstrings. You know, having a nonverbal child myself, I found this extremely relatable. And it's such a sad world we live in where bullying continues and continues towards children who have such beautiful spirits. I love the repetition of if only, because, you know, when it comes to our children and grandchildren, we see the beauty in them. We see their spirit. We see their struggles, and we just want everyone else to love them the same way we love them. But that's sadly not the world we live in. I really like this all the way through, but especially When you see her thoughts that continually ask, am I not pretty enough? Am I not intelligent? Why do you not understand me? Those lines hit hard. And then where you say, oh, my little Daisy, if only I could make you see just how amazing, unique you truly are. So wonderful, right? And very well done. And Felon.
Well, for one, you got me in tears, Naomi. Good job. You know, being a grandmother myself, you know, you don't mess with our babies because I call Milani Bear. That's my little bear. And I would fight any and everybody. So I'm going to make some little cards. So if you have a problem with me, call this number. It's going to be Felon. You get it to your granddaughter, and I will handle it for you. You ain't got to worry. There ain't going to be no more bullying of this sweet baby. I'll pluck their little daisies for sure. I think that the world today is so cruel and so mean. They don't see the beautifulness of, even if she can't speak, they feel a beautifulness of her because it's the innocence and the way that she has to carve herself and mold herself into life with the things that we take for granted, and that's just being able to express herself. So to me, she has to be intelligent to be able to express herself without using words and to actually show love to others. I mean, to me, that is the most beautiful thing in the world, is just the innocent child. This just has me in tears. I mean, I'm sorry. I just can't believe people are so mean these days.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you, Felon.
Wonderful comment, Felon. And, yeah, I can relate to that, bringing tears to the eyes, because it really does. And, Gray, your thoughts?
You know, it really tugs at the heartstrings, the forlornness of the subject and their outcast being trying to exist and smile, you know, and trying to get over their day when it's been such a cruel day, and how much you just want to love them, embrace them, and hold them close and keep them safe is just a beautiful sentiment there. And you did a wonderful, wonderful read on it, Naomi.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Wonderful comment, Gray. Thank you. And all right, up next we have The Joy of Flowers by Linda Marshall. And Felon, will you give that a read for us, please?
Yes. Sure will. Let's see, have you put it on there yet?
Yep, you might have to just refresh.
I did. This is by Linda Marshall, The Joy of Flowers. Flowers brighten up the hours, make a dull day shine, make our hearts repine. As their radiant hue, they bring joy to me and you. With their fragrant smells, they perfume the air so well. We joyfully breathe into our lungs and celebrate it as a priestly tongues. So we gladly walk where the flowers in the hidden language talk of love and peace to all who cares to see, and where the beauty brings us ecstasy. End poem.
Great read there, Felon, and such a beautiful and just a joyful write by Linda Marshall. I really appreciated this one. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, she has some amazing lines in here, eh? With the radiant you, they bring joy to me and you. And then we joyfully breathe in it in our lungs and celebrate it on our praiseful tongues. And then at the end, eh, is so beautiful. So we gladly walk where flowers in their hidden language talk of love and peace to all who care to see beauty bring us ecstasy. You know, it's just amazing, right, all the way through with such beautiful lines. So amazing job here, Linda Marshall.
Oh, I have to agree. Wonderful comment. And Gray, your thoughts?
You did a beautiful read on it, Felon. And, you know, but flowers give beauty and innocence in a hard, cold world. You know, those flower gardens, those paths that are lined with flower beds, et cetera, are places that we seek out to find that inner peace that they bring us. So I thought it was just a beautiful rate and well read.
Oh, absolutely. Great comment. And Felon, your thoughts?
I really enjoyed this. To me, it brought a that fresh smell, you know, that fresh scent, and that, you know, sometimes we take things for granted, and if we just stop and smell the roses, as they say, we can enjoy things. So this is, I think, this is a great take of the prompt, and she well deserved for a second the silver.
Yes, yes, I did decide to give her the silver. You know, to me, I felt she earned it because, as you guys have brought up, she really captured how much, you know, happiness flowers bring to people. And I really liked this all the way through. And I like how it is a celebration of flowers, and particularly the lines, we joyfully breathe it in our lungs and celebrate it on our praiseful tongues. So gladly we walk where flowers in their hidden language talk. So wonderful lines there, beautifully written and very well done. And let's see what we have next. All right. And here we go. And it's amazing. Time certainly flies when you're having fun. We'll probably end up with some, you know, carryovers, but I'm just going to put the carryovers on my Break On Through show this Friday, because that artist I'm featuring also, while she doesn't do just flowers, she does have some artwork that is flowers. So I think the carryovers will fit in good with that show. All right. And up next, we have A House With No Flowers by Julie Buck. And it goes like this. My mom always said a house with no flowers is not a home. Funny how I thought of that just now. Mom's at home dying. I wonder what she does all day besides lying in bed, refusing to eat. Unspoken thoughts. I wonder if deep inside she can think and does feel young and vital. Death is such a bad way to die, you know. My mom always said, flowers make her smile. Mom, don't go. Here, a vase of sweet jasmine. Please, Ma, stay a while. End poem. Oh, my gosh. And that was another one of those that brings tears to my eyes and just hits hard. So, wow. And Gray, your thoughts?
You know, that's a tragic poem. You did a beautiful job reading it. But, you know, the tragedy of losing somebody that you can't talk to anymore. And, you know, they're wasting away, but yet think they're young and vital. Death is such a hard way to die, you know. I thought that was a fantastic
poem. It really is. It's almost like...
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I apologize.
You know, it's just such a tragic poem. You know, I mean, your mother's at home dying, and you're remembering how much she loved flowers and what flowers meant in her life. So just a beautiful and touching poem. Very tragic.
It really is. It really, yeah, absolutely. It makes me think of the death that happens before the actual physical death, where a person is kind of like lost to the illness or lost to like Alzheimer's or dementia. So great comment there, Gray. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, this brought tears to my eyes too. And, you know, you read that quote, I must have flowers always and always. And you think of her mother as being, you know, right away I thought of her mother as being her flower in her life. And, you know, she wants to have that flower always and always, and she doesn't want to lose it. And, you know, so saying to her mother, please, Ma, stay a while. Yeah, that's the thought that came to mind. But, you know, such a heart felt home, and, you know, it just pulls your heartstrings, and it's so well written, and leaves me in tears.
Absolutely, yeah. Wonderful comment there. Felon, your thoughts?
I really can't say much other than it touched me. When I didn't lose my mom less than 2 years ago, it's really, really hurt. It really hurts, and I've been touched. It's really great. Well, there's Julie Buck.
Yeah, no, I totally understand it. I get it. And I kind of figured that this poem would, really just hit you hard with the recent loss of your mom. So I did want to make sure to call on you last to comment, but also make sure to give you that opportunity. And I think your tears and your emotions say volumes. So you don't really have to say a lot. But, yeah, this is definitely a beautiful and heartfelt write. I like, Naomi, how you mentioned that her mom is her flower and she just wants her to stay around and not go away. Julie has a wonderful, straightforward style. I like how she brings us along on her thoughts and the idea of what it's like to know that somebody you love will be soon leaving you. So just a powerful write and very well done.
Mm-hmm.
And well, let's see what we got next. All right. Up next, we have Cottage Garden by Hugh and Gray. Will you give that a read for us, please?
Absolutely. You just get there. Okay. Cottage Garden by Hugh. Whereas I go, a place no one knows, where all flowers grow, even in snow. As Cupid and angles, butterflies and bees commune and play leisurely with thee. Wild milkweed, lantana, and roses, bee passion flower, jasmine, and hummingbird three, all grows with love and sun from above. If in need of the light that surrounds me, come to my garden where flowers grow with love from me. Yug, and poem.
Great read there, Gray. I have to say, and I'm not sure if the name is pronounced Yug or Yug, but they are a new poet to me. I hope we get to see more of their writes on our shows. I always great to see new names. I look forward to reading more from them. I love the imagery and the flow in this. How he mentions the different, the idea of the garden being a place of commune for the butterflies and the bees to gather. I like how he gives a nod to the hummingbirds. It has a great flow to it. I hope they are prepared, though, that since they have invited us to their cottage garden, that we will be showing up unexpectedly, so they better have tea prepared, just saying.
Yeah.
No, this was a great ride. I very much enjoyed it. And Felon, your thoughts?
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. I like Reese's, I don't know if it's he or she, where all flowers grow, even in snow. To me, I think that really just adds a little something to it, like the power of it. It's like, because where they end it, it says, come to my cottage garden where flowers grow with love from me. I think that speaks a lot to put those two sentences together, because where flowers grow, even in snow, and they were made flowers will grow with love from me. That shows the testimony to how true, how strong they are in love and enjoying what they do and where they live. So this is just a beautiful write and a great brevity.
Oh, absolutely. I have to agree. Great comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, this poet used the amazing imagery to create this wonderful, whimsical place, you know, this magical place where you know you'd want to live. So yeah, I want to go there and have tea. So
oh,
this is amazing.
Me too.
Let's go.
Great comment. Great comment, Naomi. And Gray, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I agree with you all. It seems like a great place to go have some tea. You know, he paints a wonderful picture of his garden, and, you know, it's very descriptive and engaging. But, yeah, it was a fabulous poem.
Yeah, I have to agree. It is definitely, like you said, descriptive and engaging. We have four carryovers, so I do not want to try to push another right through. That they will be brought over to Break On Through, which is the After Midnight show on Friday. And Gray, you have Art of Seduction tomorrow. Lou is running the contest for it, so tell us about that.
Absolutely. Just one second here. I'm going to get to it. All right, so this is a quote by Pablo Neruda, and it says, "I crave your mouth. I crave your mouth, your voice, your hair. Silent and starving, I prowl through the streets. Bread does not nourish me. Dawn disrupts me. All day I hunt for the liquid measure of your steps." End quote.
Woo-hoo! Very cool. So make sure everyone to check out that contest. In fact, check out all the contests and topic boards put up by all late night poets, hosts, and hostesses, because you're sure to find something to inspire. And then after the Art of Seduction, we have Headliners Ball with Jeremy F. And he is headlining the poetry of Betty Page and Robert M. Then on Thursday is Thursday? Oh, In Our Craft, Our Soul and Art, and Richard, why would I blank out on somebody's name like that? You can tell it's almost the end of the night. Richard Wiseman is running the contest for that, and that's quotes by Herman Melville. Then I'm running the contest for Friday's After Midnight show, which is Break On Through, and that is the artwork of Yayoi Kusama. You know, then we have, let's see, open poetry for Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, and just a whole great lineup of shows and poetry and, you know, contests going on. Oh, and Sunday, Rhythm and Rhyme. Make sure to check out Rex's contest because he is featuring Muddy Waters, and it's quite an easy test. You can find your favorite Muddy Waters song and write to it. Be inspired. So thank you very much, Felon, for calling in. Thank you to Naomi and Gray for being here. I truly appreciate you all. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, is listening now, or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. This has been a wonderful night. And have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night,
awesome.
Good night, Neil. Good night, Valen.
Good night, everybody.